Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Yellow Lantern Inman. Welcome to your mind university. I don't know why I went soft with that, but this is the podcast where we usually take a character, a construct, a book, a thing from pop culture and tell you everything you need to know about it in less than an hour. But this week is different. This week is Blackest Night Week.
Yeah, this week we're giving you 5 episodes in 1 week, so we're going to do what we want, consarn it.
5 episodes.
Yeah, so many episodes.
And get your gadget.
I've always been able to do that voice.
I love that you went from like delicate British Sinestro back into Dr. Claw.
I'm Thou Sinestro.
Yes. Oh, good pull. Good pull. If you want to hear more about Sinestro, then you definitely have to check out.
I definitely do.
Blackest Night, which is a DC Comics crossover mega event stemming from the Green Lantern universe because Geoff Johns came in and gave it a swift kick in the butt and built an incredible universe leading up to this event, Blackest Night. Patrons over at patreon.com/Jawan asked us to do a video docuseries on it. And so we said, heck yeah, we'll do that. And we made Blackest Night Club.
Yes. And so this is part 4
yep.
of the Blackest Night abridged versions that we're allowing you here in the main feed. We're only covering the main issues in this feed. On the Patreon video docuseries, we cover almost every single tie-in.
Including Teen Titans.
Almost 52 issues of the event. It's a lot of comic books. There's a lot of really cool video stuff. And most of these episodes are a half an hour longer. So you get way more into the weeds. We get way more into the details of the DC Universe. And you can only see those if you go to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. We never lie when we say that the Patreon has saved this podcast more than once.
Several times by this point.
And we're very grateful to everybody over there. And going to the Patreon is really what helps us to keep the podcast going. And we have a lot of great plans for 2021.
It also helps us develop a closer relationship with you because you get literal input on the shape of our project.
You become our super friends.
You become, in a lot of ways, a producer.
Yeah. Also, I want to tell you that on the Patreon, you also get to read some of our comic books early. Right now, you get to read a comic book that I'm calling Book Best Friend on the comic right now. Patrons have been able to read the first 10 pages right now.
Holy smokes.
And that is my comic book about a Superman archetype character. It's about my character called Captain Terrific and his sidekick, Maddie Moore. Imagine if a superhero sidekick live streamed everything about them for 24 hours a day and what kind of troubles that would cause. That is what Book Best Friend is about. It's going to be my comic book that's going to be heading to Kickstarter in January. And my patrons have already read almost half of the first issue already.
And a ton of positive feedback on that.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. People are very into it.
Oh, good.
You can tell which one of us reads all the comments.
I haven't seen many comments on it. So
yeah, all the comments have been incredibly positive about Book Best Friend. So I'm very excited for more people to check it out.
So go over there and check it out because you get more than that. And you can get the full unedited 10-hour version of Blackest Night Explained.
Plus free mailbags.
So go over there, check it out, support this podcast. And without much further ado, let's listen to episode 4 of Blackest Night Explained, Blackest Night Club episode 4. And let's enter
the Blackest Night.
Hi, I'm Jason Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And welcome to Blackest Night Club. We're diving into the important issues in the DC Comics mega event known as Blackest Night. We're looking for Easter eggs. We're giving you theories about how they could do the storyline in live action. And if you haven't read it yet, there will be spoilers. Come on, guys, episode 7. There's gonna be spoilers. We have an official reading order that we're putting on screen right now, or if you're listening to the audio version of this, you know, it's around the internet, go find it. this video is gonna make a lot more sense once you do. And if you don't know at this point, Black Lanterns are zombies and they're punching Hal Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this, go back to my Instagram from about a year ago to find the reading order.
Oh, dear God. we'll update it one, come on.
Yeah.
Today's video will cover Green Lantern 49, Blackest Night number 6, and Green Lantern 50. All right. Green Lantern volume 4, number 49, with the cover date of February 2010. It was written by Geoff Johns, penciled by Ed Benes and Marcos Mars, inked by Ed Benes and another person, colored by Hi-Fi Design, lettered by Rob Lee, and edited by Eddie Braganza and another person.
So it's been a minute since the last time I read these issues and John was actually like in anything.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen the John Jancy storyline, which has been ignored to this point.
I forgot, like, we sure did take John Stewart
And just bench him for this event, mm-hmm. didn't we?
Because only Hal can be with the multicolored corps.
I mean, God forbid we let anyone other than Hal Jordan do anything.
And here's the other problem with this. At this point, John Stewart didn't have a title. John, because Green Lantern Corps was Guy and Kyle.
And Kyle, yeah.
Now, John showed up there every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah,
but John kind of only showed up in Hal's title. And at this point, this is Jeff Johns's Green Lantern. Yeah, I'm going to just state right out of the bank that I don't like this issue.
I will agree with this. I was going to say, I think Ed Bennis crushed the art.
Mm-hmm.
Always does. But like, great, we're still doing Zanshi. Great, we're still doing Katmatui. Like, we have seen all of the beats of this except the flashback, which mm-hmm. I know you want to speak a little bit to. To me, this issue is a waste.
Yeah.
And it would have been, I would have rather seen John flying through space to get to the core for 20 pages.
Mm.
I just don't see what this really adds to the overall arc. It feels like we're pumping the brakes a little
bit. Well, the one important thing that this is, do you know why this is an important issue to Jon Stewart specifically? Specifically Jon Stewart.
Because it's a retcon?
No. Well, yes and no. But this is the first time that we see a flashback to his history as a Marine.
Yeah.
Which was actually, his history as a Marine was retconned 25 issues earlier. This is something that I talk about a lot in my book, Super Soldiers, available on Amazon and jasoninman.com/store. Go talk about it. I have a whole Jon Stewart chapter. This is the issue that reveals that he was a Marine sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of problems in this because he keeps mentioning himself as a soldier. Marines are not soldiers.
Yep.
Soldiers are soldiers. Army, Marines are Marines. But I will say that I like the double page spread with John and all the armed forces members behind him. I think that's really good. But there is also, yeah, this is a little filler, but there is a little bonus in this at the very end of this, because in Blackest Night 5, we talked about Adam and Mara getting sucked into the atomic skin of a Black Lantern ring by Jean Loring. Ashley, who is Jean Loring?
She's the lady that, like, done murdered Sue.
She's Ray Palmer's wife.
Were they? Was she his wife? I thought she was only his girlfriend.
She's his wife.
She's bad.
But she did murder Sue in Identity Crisis. And this is the thing where we get, like, sort of the origin of Necron. And we learn that the Guardians are seen as the Guardians of the white light of life.
Mm-hmm.
And because the universe works in balances, that is how Necron became the Guardian of Death. So, and that's something that had not been explained up to this point, which is kind of cool.
I actually like this little backup story.
Drawn by amazing artist Jerry Ordway.
And then I like the inclusion of Deadman in this
as well.
I think Deadman, who we talked a lot about when we were reading the Blackest Night Batman issues, I think Deadman is really smartly employed where he appears throughout Blackest Night.
Very underrated as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also like that we get to see Mara. Like, Mara is like a badass in this story for the first time, and that's really cool.
All right, now let's move on to Blackest Night number 6 with the cover date of February 2010. It was written by Jeff Johns, penciled by Yvonne Reese, inked by O'Claire Albert and others, colored by Alex DeClaire, lettered by Nick J. Napolitano. Did I get it? I have no idea.
Beautiful cover.
Edited by Eddie Braganza and Adam Slagman. Ashley, we got to talk about first off here. The regular cover of this by Yvonne Reese is my favorite cover of Blackest Night.
This was the cover. This cover has been on a lot of the soft cover collections.
Of the multicolored lanterns.
If you go to Google Images and you search Blackest Night covers or any Blackest Night, any tie-in, this cover always shows up. It's always the most searched image.
I've actually seen DC use this cover actually in a lot of just like other promotional stuff, like a lot of other Green Lantern stuff.
Yes, I think this is the cover of the Green Lantern Blackest Night trade as well. Has been at some point. Yeah, it's a great cover.
So we left last issue of Blackest Night that all these sort of living people got Black Lanterns, like Superman became a living Black Lantern, Wonder Woman, and then two rings came for Hal and Barry. And Hal throws a chain or a rope to Barry, and Barry does this really cool thing. And I think this is a cool way to use the Flash's powers, because that's something that is very predictable now.
Yes.
Flash runs 2 seconds into the future and it severs the connection to the Black Ring.
Because they think they've died.
Yes. I think that is one of the most creative ways to use. I love the line of Barry being like, I'm faster than the ring.
Yeah, I liked this because I'm going to be honest, I think there is way too much Barry Allen Flash in this.
Well, again,
speaking to the whole arc,
Flash Rebirth the storyline that brought Barry Allen back is happening at the same time.
I get it. I get it. And I get that Geoff Johns' very favorite character in the whole gosh dang universe is Barry Allen. And for me, that's not the case. You're never going to convince me that Barry's cool. You're never going to convince me that he should have come back to life. However, all of that baggage aside, this is a really smart use of Barry Allen and the Flash. I like this better than all of those issues ago when Mara and Adam were like, well, if we're Wonder Woman and Superman, then who is he? He's the Flash. I thought that was super lame.
Yeah.
But here, you're almost justifying that really lame scene where they're like, he's the Flash. Like, and it's, I have a hard time with the Flash being like, oh, running fast is going to save everything. But here, he actually proves it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I like his interactions with Hal here. I think they balance each other really nicely.
Now, we got to talk about, because we talked about this a little bit in the previous issue, we had the story of Jean Loring, Black Lantern, and Adam and Mara. And basically in this, Dead Man shows up, he takes possession of Jean, and he tells them that there's something in his head that every Black Lantern in the universe, which has to be billions of them,
if not trillions in the whole universe,
are converging on Earth. And we cut to this amazing two-page spread by Yvonne Reese that I think probably took him a week to draw.
Oh my God.
Of the billions of Black Lanterns and the Black Lantern planet coming to Earth.
Yeah, if you get real close to it, or if you have it digitally and you pinch in, like, the detail in this double-page spread is incredible. It's beautiful.
Then we get to Ganthet, who is the coolest Guardian. He duplicates Hal Jordan's ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he joins as a member of the Green Lantern Corps. I love it. Fun fact, Hal Jordan's ring has had the ability to duplicate itself since the Silver Age. In fact, that is how, going to bring in a little bit of Kyle and Jade in this, remember from previous issues of Blackest Night. Kyle didn't know that his ring could do this until like 100 issues into his run. And then when he had to leave Earth, he duplicated his ring and he gave it to Jade. So this is a thing that this is kind of a forgotten power of the Green Lantern Corps.
Well, Ganthet didn't forget, and he's going to use it on everyone.
Well, because Ganthet is one of the Guardians that made the Green Lantern ring, and here's where we get even cooler. Again, I've said this several times, I think Geoff Johns, I think this run of Green Lantern is the greatest Green Lantern run of all time, because Geoff Johns, you can clearly tell, has read Green Lantern.
Oh, and he wrote it all, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this.
Ganthet initializes a program within the power rings of the other six lantern rings to also duplicate and deputize other individuals of their cores because they can't wait.
It's like an emergency kind of backup procedure.
But see, here's the cool thing about this, and this is why this is such a smart little writing thing, because all the rings are based on a Green Lantern ring.
Mm-hmm.
So they all would have this failsafe inside it, which I think is really cool. And I kind of love the beat that the other colored lanterns are like, no, you can't control my ring, which I think is really cool. So they go out and they seek other people, and I'm going to break them down.
Ooh.
So we have Ganthet of Oa is the new Green Lantern. We have Barry Allen becomes the new Blue Lantern. We have Mara becomes the new Red Lantern. We have Lex Luthor becomes the new Orange Lantern. We have Wonder Woman becomes the new Star Lantern. She's saved from the Black Lanterns. Scarecrow, a Batman villain, becomes the new Sinestro Corps, and the Atom joins the Indigo Tribe. So, I wanted to go through those really quickly because I want to go through these one by one, and actually, I want to hear your thoughts on, is this person a good choice?
I have thoughts.
Okay, so let's start it. Ganthet as a Green Lantern.
Great, obvious choice, great choice, really smart idea.
I agree, I think it's a nice little twisting of, to make him an active player.
Yep.
Barry Allen as the Blue Lantern.
No.
Okay, why?
Absolutely not. To me, this feels like Hope.
Hope, yes.
Hope, the Blue Lantern, it's kind of a crown.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a Blue Lantern, you're kind of not better than, but again, like the idea with Kyle, you're kind of more pure than everyone else.
Sure.
You're kind of holier than everyone else in terms of what a superhero represents. And for me, that is not Barry Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Allen is lame. Barry Allen does not inspire hope. People don't go out to the streets to be like, I love Barry Allen. Geoff Johns has made him into that because Geoff Johns loves Barry Allen. I know that Superman and Superboy are off being Black Lanterns right now, but to me, it has to be a member. It should be Supergirl.
Should be a member of the Superfan family.
I think so. To me, it is not Barry Allen. If I was ranking 100 superheroes for Hope, Barry Allen would not enter my list.
And
that's just my taste. If you love
there's
that,
no right or wrong
that's
here.
Awesome.
There's no right or wrong here. I actually like Barry Allen as a Blue Lantern, although I do realize that he was only chosen because of the story possibilities.
Yes.
To be honest with you, I never considered Superman, but you are right. It should be Superman.
It should be Superman.
To be honest with you, the person that jumped into my head, but I know because of where we are in this universe in 2010 and where we are with Barry Allen, that was never going to happen. I actually, to be honest with you, the choice that popped into my head that seems more obvious than Barry Allen is Wally West.
Oh, that's interesting, because my choice that if I were writing this, mm-hmm. the choice that I would make to surprise people would be Dick Grayson.
Ooh. We would have had a Blue Lantern Batman.
Because that's what makes Dick different than Bruce, is he's hopeful. Anyway.
All right, let's talk about the Red Lantern choice, Mara. I love this choice, and to be honest with you, reading this at the time, completely surprised by it.
I'm surprised by it, too, but I think it's a smart choice.
Yep.
I think it works for this, yeah.
Lex Luthor of the Orange Lanterns, I think, is genius.
It is like, chef kiss, perfect, because you want everything. You want the world. It's perfect. Yep. Perfection. An amazing choice.
I also think a great choice, Wonder Woman as a Star Sapphire.
Love it. Perfect.
I think it's really great. And
also, she looks awesome.
Oh, she looks great in that costume. And also, I think it's a smart way to get her out of being a Black Lantern.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a panel of Wonder Woman in this issue where she has a Black Lantern axe that I think it looks really cool. It's when the ring is firing.
I like her little headpiece.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool. They should have given foam axes out with that Black Lantern symbol out at Comic-Con. Here is a weird choice for me. And it's not a weird choice, but I think that there could have been... I understand why you do this literally. Scarecrow as the Sinestro Corps. Now, I understand Scarecrow
he's the easiest possibility.
He's all about fear. I think there's a better choice. Now, I don't know what the choice is. And I understand, again, you're building this out that you want a couple villains on this.
Yeah.
To make it interesting.
Also want a bat. We have no Batman characters here right now.
That's true. And here's the last choice. And I think this is genius. The Atom as the Indigo Lantern.
I disagree. To me, this is like a WTF. I guess Jeff really likes the Atom.
I love
so
Ray
here
Palmer. Yeah. I think it's a great choice.
I don't care for Ray Palmer. I don't see what about Ray Palmer. I don't think of Ray Palmer as an empath. I don't think of him as compassionate.
Do you have another choice? And I'm not putting it on your spot.
No. But again, if I were making a list of 100, Ray Palmer would never enter. To me, compassion... And people are not going to like what I'm going to say. Compassion has to be a woman. I think.
You know, I will say this, and I'd love to debate this with you.
Sure.
Well. I always have kind of thought that Wonder Woman should have been the Indigo Lantern.
But I get why you give her love.
Yeah, but don't you think that Wonder Woman's more about compassion than love?
Than romantic love, yes. It's more about, the love is more like a sisterhood.
But Wonder Woman is always about, like, truth, right? And truth, to me, seems like, is always about compassion.
I mean, here's a choice that would never have worked, but, like, Leslie Tompkins... Alfred Pennyworth.
Yeah, it's not exciting.
For compassion, you know, like, and compassion is weird because it is a quiet, small thing.
To be honest with you.
I don't understand the choice of Ray Palmer. I just don't.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Okay.
I actually think, just us talking right
Absolutely.
Now. I actually think that Ray Palmer and Wonder Woman should be flipped. Because Wonder Woman makes more sense as compassion. Now, I'm going to make my case for Ray Palmer's love.
But all the Star Sapphires are women, so it's going to be a woman.
But make it a man.
I know. God forbid we flipped it.
Let's flip it. Let's put him in the sexy bikini. Who cares?
All right. Make the case for Ray Palmer.
Okay. A lot of this storyline is Ray Palmer dealing with Jean Loring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a Ray Palmer. You got to think about the DC Universe at this time. This is 3 years of... Ray Palmer mourning the woman that he has loved, Jean Loring. Now, if you ever read the origin story of Ray Palmer, in the very first issue, it's in one of the show, I think Showcase 63, I think something like that. Jean Loring's in that issue. He proposes to Jean Loring in that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So Ray Palmer clearly loves her, and Jean Loring is in this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it makes more sense that the Atom. Is love.
Sure. I mean, another obvious choice, which I wouldn't do because our point of view, Star Sapphire, is Carol Ferris, but the other obvious choice to me is Lois Lane.
Ooh.
But Lois,
who we haven't seen in
but
this
Lois
issue.
And Carol, like, Carol's a knockoff Lois Lane,
yeah.
So I get it, you're not going to bring in Lois Lane.
Yeah.
But to me, like, you make it Lois, you have her fight Superman. I think that's cool.
I love the two-page spread of the new members.
The Adam actually looks really cool. His little like loincloth tribe costume.
You know why this is cool?
Savage sword.
Because his costume.
The Adam.
Because his costume is the savage sword of the Adam, which is a special place here in our Crisis Club Blackest Night Club arts. Because our amazing editor Adam Slekta is the savage sword of Adam. Uh-huh. Put that up again, Adam. Oh yeah, it looks good. You know what, Adam? I want to see you in this two-page spread as the Indigo Lantern, Savage Sword of Adam. There you go, everyone out there. Take a look at that. It's beautiful. Adam does amazing work.
Adam also cosplays, so we could see him in this in real life. There's a free idea.
We're putting the challenge out right now to our amazing editor, Adam, right now, to cosplay this at a future Planet Comic Con in Kansas City.
There you go. And convince your lovely wife to be a Star Sapphire.
Oh, she could be a
there
good
you go.
One. You know what? She has actually, his lovely wife, Milena, new wife, has actually cosplayed as Wonder Woman in the past.
Yes, I've seen
it. So now we put the challenge out to you. You have to be Indigo Lantern the Atom, and she has to be Star Sapphire Wonder Woman.
There you go.
The gauntlet is down. And you know what? If you don't do it, then 400 of our patrons will be very mad. Okay, so Ashley, let's move into our thoughts on this bunch of Blackest Nights. Overall, what do you think about this section?
If I'm looking at this in the overall structure of Blackest Night, I think we're buying time a little bit to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
This, and I enjoy these set of issues.
Yep.
These set of issues is only exists to build up a bunch of people to fight the to me this feels like double doing. It means like we created a color core and now we're hitting Command C, Command V because we need a little bit more to fight the bad guys. So I think this is cool, but I think this does very little to forward the plot that we're like the denouement. Like we're about to hit the climax and this is like the last bit of assembling the team. Mm-hmm. Like we're getting the final magic wielder we need for our D&D campaign. So it's cool. But I don't know if it serves a ton of purpose overall. Now, I know you've also read this whole event, so you have a different perspective than I do. And you probably know how this is going to pay off in ways that hopefully in two or three episodes I'm going to be like, this was totally amazing and we absolutely needed it.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. So this whole batch, I really dislike Green Lantern 49. Just flat out. Part of that is because I am a service member. I am a veteran. That's a little bit of it. But I don't see the point in the storyline. I disagree with this. I think that at this point, the main title, Blackest Night, is firing on all cylinders because event books are different than normal ongoing books.
You're absolutely right.
Because here's the thing. Here's my criteria with event books. I read so many comic book events where nothing happens until the last two issues. And I think the great thing that Geoff Johns has done, especially in the main titles, the main book of Blackest Nights, is that something big happens in every single issue. So this issue is all these other heroes get colors. Remember, the last issue was all those other heroes became Black Lanterns.
Yeah.
So last issue was like, oh crap, the threat went up. This issue is, we're going to be fine, we have allies. Mm-hmm. And so the next one's going to be like, oh, what's the other complication that's going to happen? Let's move on to our next issue, Green Lantern, Volume 4, number 50. Was cover date of March 2010. It was written by Geoff Johns, penciled by Doug Monkey, inked by Christian Alami and a bunch of others, colored by Randy Mayer and a bunch of others, lettered by Rob Lee, and edited by Eddie Berganza. Ashley, I'm going to tell you this. There's something that you need to know about Jason Inman. You probably already know this, but Jason Inman loves Parallax.
Yes, I knew
think
that.
The design of Parallax by Darryl Banks and that whole storyline of Parallax, I think is so amazing. So, when I bought this issue in 2010 and I saw this cover,
which kind of spoils the whole thing,
which is Parallax, you know, on the cover, I was so excited.
I actually think the variant cover by Jim Lee is really beautiful as well, and this image has been used on
and a bunch of
posters,
collections,
prints,
posters,
yeah, collections. By the way, if you all out there watching this are not following Darryl Banks on Instagram, I think he's at GL Prime.
Yes.
He is a wonderful follow, and he draws Green Lanterns all the time.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this beginning battle, Ashley, here.
I love the first two panels of this.
The Kosei side?
Yeah, I just think it's so smart, and it's such a... Some of these issues have a lot of exposition to remind you of what is happening, and then they kind of have the characters say the same thing. So for four pages, you're just getting caught up.
Gotta reset people.
I understand, and some of the tie-in issues, like the one we're gonna start the next episode with, the whole series had nothing to do with Blackest Night, but I think these two panels, are a really nice way to catch people up and just be like, this is what we're doing. You're all caught up, good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we have our multicolored core, and we have our multicolored deputies with them going, and they're battling and going crazy. And then we get to see somebody that I didn't think we'd ever see in comic books again, Aqua Baby. Yep, Arthur Jr. pops up, and Aquaman's like, look at my little dead zombie baby.
Yeah.
Red Lantern Mara.
I love Mara as a Red Lantern. I actually think this is a really smart use of a dead baby, because the death of...
Because we saw that in Blackest Night Titans.
Yes, and the death of a prince is arguably, per our geek history lesson, one of the greatest Aquaman stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that sequence for Mara's arc in this series.
Yeah.
I thought it was smart.
Totally. All right, so I want to move forward, because this is sort of deals with all the different colored deputies, and we get a big character that shows up in this issue, and it's a character that usually shows up when a lot of big cosmic events happen. Right? If you remember, if you watch Crisis Club with us here, you know this character showed up to punch the Anti-Monitor in the face, talking about the Spectre. Now, Ashley, you know who the Spectre is. Can you explain to the audience who the Spectre is?
He's Oliver Queen.
It's incorrect.
I was not incorrect for the Arrowverse. He is God's vengeance on Earth,
yep,
which is a whole complicated implication.
He's the spirit of vengeance.
He's usually in the body of Crispus Allen, although Hal Jordan has taken him on from time to time as well.
Yes, I was going to say that. That's the reason why the Spectre is in this event, because Hal Jordan was the host of this.
Black Lantern Spectre looks amazing.
Yes, and this is the Crispus Allen Spectre. But just to let you know, in case you didn't know, Hal Jordan became the Spectre during the Day of Judgment storyline written by Geoff Johns, when a fallen angel attempts to gain the Spectre's power. Hal Jordan then lost the Spectre during Green Lantern reboot. That's the reboot that started this whole run of Hal Jordan. Now, this Spectre turns Hal Jordan into a Black Lantern, which, by the way, action figure spotlight for you all out there. I own the action figure of the DC Universe Classic series of Black Lantern Hal Jordan.
Do you really?
I do. I don't know where the heck it is. It's in a box somewhere, but I have it. So I'm not going to bring it out for this video. That would take as long as it would take to record this video. But I do own that. Yes, I do. So then the ultimate plan is they realize that the Spectre is scared of Parallax. Now, this is a nice little continuity beat. When Ganthet, the coolest guardian, reveals that the embodiment of fear was trapped in all four of the Earth Green Lanterns, Kyle, Hal, Guy, and John.
Mm-hmm.
And so connecting them all brings out the embodiment of fear, Parallax. Now, Ashley, do you like Parallax? Just the embodiment of fear, Parallax? I'm not talking about Hal Jordan Parallax. Do you like this
idea? I like both versions of Parallax.
I like
Parallax.
Oh, nice.
And I like that Sinestro wants Parallax.
Well, of course, because it's the embodiment of him.
Yeah.
So, eventually, Hal decides to take possession of Parallax, just like they did in Emerald Twilight, and he gets the really cool Daryl Banks designed Parallax costume on with the big smiley face, which is something that they kind of retconned into Green Lantern Rebirth, but it's fine.
The like slow four panel introduction of Hal as Parallax, where they reveal the White Temples, is so cool. It's so cinematic.
Yes.
Like, that is something that if I were making an adaptation, I would rip this off entirely with my lighting designer.
Yeah, totally. So any final thought? To me, this was a hell of a cliffhanger. I loved it as a 90s fan. Any other thoughts, Ashley, here?
I think this issue's the best of the batch that we read.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the introduction of the Spectre and the reintroduction of Parallax, because now we know that the big battle's coming, and that's like ultimately that's the most fun in every event, is like, and there's been a lot of fighting up to this point, but watching everyone.
All right. So,
oh, and the Orange Lanterns get cool stuff to do in this issue.
Like what?
This is where Lark Flees decides he's gonna take down Lex Luthor, and Lex tries to justify why they should save Earth. And we talked a lot about how is Lark Flees a good character, and I think this is like continuing the trend of like Lark Flees is super funny in this issue, even though it's only in a few panels.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this whole bunch of Blackest Night all together. Ashley, anything that you disliked about this section of Blackest Night? This Green Lantern 50, I'm just going to say for me, I think really knocks it off the rails, because I think it's an excellent part of Blackest Night, but but also it's a great 50th issue. And 50 issues and 25 issues. Anniversary issues should always be big, and I think that one definitely delivered.
I am not super fond of the Flash tie-ins. They're fine for my money, but I think these two the Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps issues are really good, and they're nice in a complimentary way.
Yes.
Because we're able to add something to both the mythos of Mogo of the Spectre and Parallax. So both of these issues have kind of changed only by adding little adjustments, these staples of the Green Lantern universe. And that's cool. And they're things that will stay in continuity for good and for ill going forward. So I think the Green Lantern centric stuff here is really good.
Nice. All right. So now there are plenty of other issues of Blackest Night that you can read. We're only covering the important ones, of course. But if you need to read it all, here is a segment that we like to call, so you can get a little bit more. It's the Blackest Night Buffet. It's the best graphic of the entire video. So if you want to stay up to you know, snuff with Blackest Night, the two issues that we didn't cover that you should read during the section are Blackest Night Wonder Woman number 2 and Blackest Night JSA number 2. All right, Ashley, let's talk about the legacy of this section of Blackest Night. Is there anything that stands out to you that is important to, like, going forward, how they adapt this, or like hinting back to the past of this section of Blackest Night?
The Rogues definitely come to mind for me, because the thing, even though I don't necessarily love the Rogues, the things that I think the tie-ins do really well is when they play on the larger continuity in the same way that's what I liked about these Green Lantern issues. And the Rogue stuff, I think, is super important here, not only because it leads to, like you said with Owen, like a couple of characters who are going to be important in different iterations of the DC Universe going forward, but because they're things that are important to Barry Allen, and we know that Barry's going to have to tackle them. So those are things that stick out to me. Mogo, obviously, and the change and how powerful Mogo is. And then, I mean, it's hard not to just focus on Guy Gardner, because we know there's a Red Lantern series coming right around the corner. So how about you? What sticks out to you?
Parallax. The idea that this 1994-95 villain that was an offhand is still important 20 years later, 15 years later, I think is pretty important. Parallax, to me, is such a big part of the Green Lantern story. And to me, it was really nice to see that costume again and to see, like, the hints back to Parallax. Because most writers would like to just forget the time that Hal went crazy and murdered 2 billion people. But it happened.
Yeah.
It happened. And for me as a Green Lantern fan, that was the run that I came into it. So to me, I can never, I like Hal Jordan and I like this run of Hal Jordan, but I will never forget that the first time I met Hal Jordan was as a supervillain.
If you were in charge of adapting it for the screen, small or large, would you include Parallax?
How do you mean?
Well, if I'm Greg Berlanti and I say, Jason, I would like you to be in charge of the Blackest Night adaptation. Do you say, I absolutely want to do the Parallax beat?
Well, that's a way more complicated question than, because my question to you would honestly be like, has there been a Green Lantern series before this? Who stars in the Green Lantern
series?
Well,
let's assume that would be doable and would make sense in continuity, right? Like, do you think that the appearance of Parallax is important enough that it would have to be included in an adaptation?
Look, again, this is a super complicated question. The best answer I can give you is literally like, because there's so much continuity in that to answer this question. The best I can answer that question is that if I'm adapting Blackest Night and our Green Lantern series stars Hal Jordan, Parallax is only the embodiment of fear. He's nothing else.
Okay, I think that's fair.
There's nothing else. Like, you just can't do the 90s storyline unless you actually do it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're never going to do it because every Green Lantern series is going to star Hal or John. It's going to happen. Like, as much as I love Kyle, that's exactly what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's the best I can give you. I can dig my way out of that answer. Okay, so we'll see you back here for the final episode. And if you want to be prepared for the next episode, you need to read Green Lantern 51, Blackest Night, number 7. Green Lantern 52,
Ooh.
Blackest Night, number 8. That is it. Guys, we are so far along this line. I want to give a quick shout out. Thank you to everybody over at Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin. That's JAWIIN for making Blackest Night Club happen. We couldn't have made it without you guys over there. So thank you so much for watching. Only one more time left. I guarantee you the last episode of Blackest Night Club is going to be an hour long. There's
Crazy.
No way we're going to get through this without a lot of talking. So thank you so much for watching. I'm Jason, not a Black Lantern.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And thanks for watching Blackest Night Club. We'll be right back.